All right, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Did you know you have authority over the creeps? That's a word from God today. There's a lot of creeps out there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." That's his will for you. That's his will. Be fruitful and multiply. That's for everybody. Not just a few chosen people. That's for everybody. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." You know, so from the very beginning of time, God has given at least two powers, two forces to man. And that's to everybody. And the enemy has tried to stop this, but he's given us authority. We have authority in our lives. We have authority in our world. And an authority is released through our words. We have dominion and authority in our world. And so, just like God gave Adam and Eve a garden to tend, we need to exercise authority in our garden. And what the enemy tries to do is shut your mouth or shut your voice or to twist your words to bring death. But God wants to bring life. So he's given you authority, and he already defeated Satan 2,000 years ago. So, I mean, the devil is defeated, but he acts like he isn't, and he tries to put up a big fight, and so we've got to enforce the authority won by Jesus 2,000 years ago. Now the second power that he's given, and it's a power, is the ability to plant seed. To plant seed in the ground. And that's how the garden was to grow. Is God gave man something small, he was to take it, to plant it, to water it, to watch over it, to nurture it, and it was to bring a harvest, and from that harvest came more seed, and then you take that seed, and you eat some of it, and you use part of it, but then you plant that seed, and then more comes back, and we call that seed time harvest. Everybody say that. Seed time harvest. It's a process. And it's from the beginning of time. And it's God's way, and God initiated it. And Jesus makes this plain over in Mark 4. I'll read that from the Message translation. Mark 4 is all about planting seed. You know, the sower sows the word. He sows seed on different soil. But let's look at Mark 4, verse 26. And I'm going to read from the Message translation. It says this, "Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First the green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. And when the grain is fully formed, he reaps harvest time." How can we picture God's kingdom? He's saying, what is God's kingdom like? How can we picture the kingdom of God? Now there's a lot of things you could say here. And then Jesus in New King James says, if you understand, talk about the parable of the sower, you understand this parable, you'll understand all the parables. Right? How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go, yet once it is planted, it grows into a huge pine tree. I've got some of those. With thick branches, eagles nest in it. I've had the privilege to see the redwoods out in California. Has anybody seen those? I mean, it is awesome. You need to see. I mean, I love trees, And so that was one of my goals and dreams, is to see the redwood forest and to go there. And I'm telling you, it's a spiritual experience to walk in there and just these massive trees. Well, I picked up one of the seeds from a redwood tree. I mean, you know, 200 feet long, and I mean, some of them are 30, 40 feet wide. I mean, just massive, these massive trees. You know, you've seen that, some different kind of trees. You can drive cars through them, you know. And so you'd think it's going to be this massive seed, you know, like these big, huge pine, you know, because, you know, pine cones in my backyard are pretty big. And, you know, and so we got those guys. So you think for a redwood tree, it's going to be this massive. No, the seed for a redwood tree, I got it in one of my cups in my office as a reminder of the power of a seed. It's this big. This big is the seed for a redwood tree. And so that seed planted in the ground, nurtured and watered, grows into this massive thing. And so Jesus is saying here to us about the power of the seed, that the kingdom of God is like a seed being planted. And so we need to understand, we are all farmers. That's our business. We're in the seed planting business. And we need to be about our business every day. And there's a process while we're sleeping, while we're going about our day. Seed time harvest is working at the various stages. And the amazing thing about it, just like that redwood seed, the amazing thing about it is the harvest is always bigger than the seed. Let's look at Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. I love today. I get to preach all my favorite scriptures. Love these scriptures. I've got about 1,000 favorite scriptures, and so these I'm reading today, probably they're in the top 100. So, I mean, they're really special. Top 100. But Luke 6:38 says this: give and it will be given to you. That's good to know. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. But with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now the Jews wore these long robes, and they had a rope or some kind of a belt they used for a girdle to kind of keep it all in. Girdles, they had girdles back then. And but what they would do is they would use their robes, they would pick them up and hold them like this and haul stuff in there. And, you know, they could get, you know, depending on the person, could get a lot of stuff in their robe. And so what he's really saying here is when you give, and in our terminology, it will be God's going to fill your pocket. That was their pocket. God's going to fill your pocket. Anybody got pockets on your pants today? God wants to fill your pocket. And He wants to fill it in a greater measure than what you've been sowing. And in fact, this is a word for somebody. Good measure, pressed. I mean, I got chill bumps. Can you see it? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Anybody here could use some running over? Or do we like lack? Do we like barely getting along? Does God want us just to scrape by? Is that what a blessing is? Is a blessing just scraping by, just barely making it? 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. Is that God's plan? No, God's plan is overflow. It's overflow. Jesus said in John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Overflow. He came to give us overflow. What does it say in Psalm 23? Until our cup runs over. But see, there's an enemy that's going to fight God's plan. There's going to be an enemy that's going to fight against your authority. There's going to be an enemy that's going to fight against you planting seed, because he knows the power of the seed. So he's going to try to get you not to plant seeds. He wants to deal with your expectancy, because expectancy brings results. When you're expecting, good things to happen, they happen. So He wants to deal with your expectancy. And for you to doubt, and for you not to trust God, and God's not going to come through this time. It's not going to happen, Bobby. It's just not going to happen. It's just not in the cards for you. And He plants those seeds in your mind, just to doubt, just a little bit. Well, it'll happen for them, but it won't happen for me. You see, I got sin in my life. I did this in my past. But I love James 1:5, where it says, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give it to you liberally, without reproach. Without reproach means it's not based on your past performance. It's just based on the fact that you're a child of God. Do I have any children of God in here today? And so He'll give it to you liberally.
Yes.
I'm a liberal and proud. I'm as far left as you can get. God wants to fill your pocket. I remember, I'm not just talking finances today. When it's talking about your harvest is on the way, I mean, harvest, God uses harvest for a lot of things. One of the biggest harvests He talks about is the harvest of souls. He's the Lord of the harvest. But I have so many testimonies about harvest and things that God has done, so many miracles. I need to put it in a book. How about that? But I remember when I was at Oral Roberts University, and I'm leaving the country of Panama. I have no money. I was on a missions trip used all my money for this missions trip to Panama with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I'm there for 2 months doing just having a blast, getting people saved and ministering to people, and I have this I have this ticket back to Miami. I have no idea what I was thinking. When you're young, you're just crazy. Maybe we need to get a little more crazy again. All I have back from Panama is a ticket to Miami. I've got no credit cards. I've got no money. And I just had a word from God to go to ORU. And so I am just like sitting on the airplane flying from Panama City to Miami, and you know, and I am just like, what am I gonna do? And the enemy's just hitting me, you know, with doubt, and it's just not gonna work this time, and I'm basically a new believer, and it's just not gonna work. There's just no way. I mean, and he's just, you know, he's hitting me, and I've got all my scriptures written out, and I'm just coming back at him with the word and saying, no, this is what the Lord said. I had a journal at that time writing what the Spirit of God was saying to me and all my scriptures. And I mean, and I had it out. And so the devil's saying this, and I'm saying this back to him, and he's coming with a bigger argument. I'm coming with my argument. And sometime before we landed in Miami, I had the victory.
Amen.
I mean, God already won it, but I had to enforce it. And so I land, and then before I know it, they hand me this envelope with cash in it. How many people like cash? And in that envelope was cash, $800 in cash, by the way. I slept in the airport in Miami that night with my duffel bag, my dad's army duffel bag. It makes a good pillow. But I went to the counter, and they take cash. I bought me a ticket to Tulsa. And off I went. And landed at ORU. And, you know, then everything was just rosy after that. No. It was a battle. They tried to kick me out several times because I didn't have the money to pay my tuition bill. And, you know, it's just really close. I mean, there was people I was avoiding on campus. They were looking for me and I was avoiding them. Don't do this now. I'm not encouraging this. But I got good at avoiding these people. But, you know, every few once in a while, I'd have a dollar or something in my wallet. I mean, I was loaded, a dollar. $1. And so I knew about seed time harvest. I knew that I needed a miracle. I knew I needed a big harvest. And so that dollar wasn't going to pay my $8,000 tuition bill. There was no financial aid because my parents made too much money. I couldn't get any financial aid. Zip. Zero. Nothing. Well, there's other things, but I don't have time to tell the Roy Trankenshue story, so I'm just not even going to tell it. Okay. But anyway. Huh? No, I can't. Susie, I can't. Okay. Tell another day. But, so I got $1, and I'm just looking for somebody to bless this with $1. Matt, $1. That's all I had. And there was this teacher who was an intern, and she was a single mother, and she was in grad school, and she was working, just barely getting by. But she's one of my teachers, and that was my project. And so I'd get this dollar, I'd put it in an envelope, put a real nice encouraging note, and slip it under her door. $1. I was so excited about that $1 seed. And I'd be just, and that's what I did. I mean, one time I had a watch, it wasn't a very expensive watch, put in the offering at Higher Dimensions. That's all I had. I had nothing. Wanted to give that night, put a watch in there. But I have a good testimony. I mean, it was like redwood-sized seeds. It's nothing today. It's like a dollar to us is like a penny. It's nothing. But those were the kind of seeds I was sowing. And I have good news to report. My tuition was paid in full. When I went back to Minnesota that summer, I had $100. $100 in my pocket. I was rich. There was some discouraging days in there. There was the uncalled fast. An uncalled fast is where you don't have food and you can't eat. And so weeks and weeks, thank God I had a job in Saga, which was the cafeteria, because I had to eat like 3 or 4 meals in one sitting. Because I just worked different times, and so, there were some days I didn't eat all day long. And I got down razor thin. I was probably about, 6'1", 140 pounds, 100 degrees, and I'm chilly. No body fat. I dream of those days. I'm wearing size 31 jeans. They're baggy. It's hard to imagine this in Nate. My jaw was so sharp, you could open letters with it. But there was some tough days in there. There was a lot of walking on the track at night, praying in the spirit, couldn't sleep. There's a lot of going over the word. There's a lot of going to meetings and just hearing the word and hearing the pastor or the preacher. Because I needed it, man. I needed everything possible. And one time, I would go to this place called Christ Chapel. They had a little chapel. It's a big building, but they had a little chapel. And they would have, communion. I'm raised Catholic, so I love communion. So I would go there for communion. And I'd stay there sometimes afterwards and pray. And so I would go down to the front of the altar, and I would just get down on my knees and pray, praying about things. And one particular time, I'm praying, and I haven't eaten for days. I'm serious. I don't even know how I have strength to even pray. And I am just like, God, you've got to do something here. I don't know if I can make it. You ever been there? I don't know if I can make it. And so I'm praying, and I hear the door back of the thing open, and I just keep on praying. Someone walks in, and it's like they're standing there for a minute, and then I hear the door close. And then I just keep on praying. Then a little while later, someone else walks in. They're there for a few minutes, and then they leave. Well, I found out later, Susie had come in there. She told me this later. It might even be the same day. We were friends or good friends at that time. I don't know. And she's a giver. She is, has always been a big seed sower. And so she had come in and she just, you know, somehow knew where she was, but she put a $20 bill on the table back there. I mean, there was like a little, sideboard thing and, you know, so she put a $20 bill on there and she just left and she figured I'd just get it on the way out. It'd be like an angel had dropped it there. Well, when I walk out, there's nothing there. The second person came in and grabbed the 20. So she's telling me this later, I am hungry, but I'm putting on a good front, you know, I'm clean, I'm like the guy fasting, you're not gonna know, besides the waistline is so thin, you're not gonna know that I'm not eating. And then she tells me this story, and I am literally starving, and she tells me this story, and I am just like, oh my God, what could I get with $20? The devil was mean. That could have been it, man. I'm walking back to Minnesota. I am just like, I have had it. That's the last straw. But I believe in seed time harvest. Devil takes your seed, he takes your harvest sometimes. He wants to steal it. It happens. But it's interesting here in Luke 6:38, in this chapter, it's all about your enemies. And so, if you're like one of those folks in the open doors, and there's many adversaries, or like Eddie was sharing there in Mark 10 about persecutions, if you feel like you're under attack, if you feel like you're being persecuted, if you feel like there's many adversaries around you, I just want to encourage you today, sow some seed. Keep on sowing. Keep on watering. If you've got enemies, that means you need to sow more. Don't give in and be tempted to deal with it in the flesh. Be looking for seeds to sow. The life of the sower is amazing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9. I mean, just, you know, some of my favorite verses right here. I mean, probably thousands of times I've read these verses. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, amplified. Starts off with remember. Remember. You need to remember. You need to remember about your authority. You need to remember about the ability to sow seed. You need to remember about who Jesus is. You need to remember who the devil is. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. If you're a seed sower, if you're a giver, I mean, you're on God's mind, you're on his, I mean, he's not going to forget it. And so, if you're here today and you're in a trial, you're here today and you're facing opposition, whatever you're dealing with, I mean, I don't care, maybe you just had a great harvest, keep on sowing. Wake up today and who can I bless? I'm in the blessing business. I go about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed by the devil, for God is with me. I'm just like my Heavenly Father. He's a giver. He blesses people. I'm His son. That's what I do. I'm in the family business. And we've got the example of Jesus. He died. He was buried. He was planted in the ground. But on the third day, He rose again. On the third day, harvest is coming. Sometimes you let go of that seed, and man, you wish you had it. Man, what can I do with that seed? But you gotta let go of it. It's gotta die to you so it can be resurrected. And when it's resurrected, it'll come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The harvest is always greater than the seed. And you may think your seed is insignificant, but it's not insignificant to God. God sees, God knows. And God is able. God is able. Our God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. So that you may always, and under all circumstances, do we believe the Word today? Is the Word true? Or is it, does it not apply to me? Under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donations. Now, this church, Good News Church, from the very beginning, we've been a seed-sowing church. And again, not just financially, but blessing our community, blessing people. Our first offering, that first weekend of the church that we started, we sowed a seed into a evangelist that traveled the world and was in churches of 10,000 people, and our offering was the largest offering he had ever received. That was the beginning of Good News Church. My wife and I used our recent, and there's others here that did as well, but we used our, you know, money we had saved, down payment for a house, and sold that to start the church. And you don't want to know what? I have no regrets. I have no regrets. In fact, I'm excited about that seed to see what's happening today, to see the people that we've impacted. It's worth anything. I mean, I would have given all everything. And so the seed sowing life is an adventure. It's not a dull thing. It's not getting by or going through the motions. There's just an expectancy. So this church is a very generous church. The people here of Good News Church are very generous. I mean, you sow love, you sow forgiveness, right? You sow healing, you sow your time. I mean, there are people here all day long. Clean the building. That's not glamorous. Finances are gifts. I want you to know, Good News Church, your future is bright. I want you to know in your future is victory. In your future is success, whatever that means to you. In your future is increase. You are going somewhere. You are going places. God's got a great plan for your life. God's going to use you in great ways. God wants to bless you and work through you to touch others. That's your destiny. That's who you are. Some of you are going to go to nations. Multiple nations. Some of you are going to go to nations and live there. Some of you are going to start ministries, start businesses, start families. And I want you to know, you'll be fruitful and you'll multiply, and we're going to touch a lot of lives. I've got a dream for Good News Church and other ministries that we took. I mean, I want to give millions of dollars into the preaching of the gospel. My faith is not at billions yet, but my faith is at millions. So for the generous here, for the seed sowers here at Good News Church, I got some good verses here. Turn over to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. You thought I was done already, huh? Could be done. Galatians 6. And you see, I mean, the enemy comes against you and you start hearing these things and you just like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that anymore. It's true for others, but I don't know if it's true for me. I've sown a lot of seed and haven't seen the harvest on all that seed. I mean, I guess it's just not going to happen. It just wasn't in the plans for me. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Let me go through some of these words here. The first one, grow weary, we'll come back to that. Doing good. Talks about don't grow weary in doing good. This doing good means, and amplifies it, says acting nobly or doing right. It means being benevolent, being kind, living with integrity, doing good works, walking in love. That's doing good. Being a blessing. Now that's not the world's way. The world's way is selfishness. The world's way is about taking. The world's way is all about me. But in God's ways, it's all about others. Then there's the due season. Due season is an opportune time. It's a set time. It's an appointed time. It's a proper time. That means God's got a set time for harvest. Amen. The word reap, we know what it means. It means harvest off seed sown. Harvest off seed sown. And the word faint, don't faint. It means don't loosen or relax your courage, and you can be so exhausted to the point of fainting. You ever been exhausted? You ever been tired? And I'm not talking physically, like you've had a workout, or you've had a hard day at work. I mean just physically, spiritually or mentally exhausted. In a spa or a vacation, which those will be great things. And money for the vacation, I mean, that would be wonderful. But it's like even you do those things, you're still exhausted. That's what he's talking about here. And it gets that way. And the trials and the tests. And we talked about the opposition, about people you love or people you're in your inner circle are doing things on purpose to hurt you. You have your guard down. That hurts. It's painful. Because, I mean, a lot of things, I mean, the devil can come at you and you just recognize it and it may hurt, but you recognize it, you take authority over it. But when it's when people that you love and care for and you have the guard down, I mean, they can really stab you. They can really hurt you. And sometimes, I mean, and it can really knock you back. And it knocks people out. It can cause you to lose your courage. It can cause you to lose your expectancy. See, sitting here today, you're either expectant or you're not. If you have nothing that you're hoping for or nothing to look forward to, it's time to kind of step back and get with God, because that's not the way you're supposed to live. We're to have things in our future that we're looking forward to. And when you're believing and when your faith is rising, you have an expectancy. And I've been there on some things in my life have taken years, and I know during that part of that, I mean, I'm just like, my courage is gone, I'm weak. I'm not expecting. In fact, I may even be expecting bad things. Have you ever been there? Well, you know, bad things come in threes. You ever said that? Don't say it. But let's go back to the grow weary back at the beginning. It says, don't grow weary in doing well. And this word means you lose your confidence, but it's like you lose your edge. And you begin to slack off. And you start saying this, what does it matter? What does it really matter? I mean, whether I tithe or not. What does it matter if I give or not? What does it matter if the Lord's leading me to witness to this person and I don't do it? What does it really matter? Someone else will do it. And you start, and it's, you just get discouraged. You just start losing your confidence. Your expectancy. And you just say, well, what does it matter? What does it matter if I go to church? They won't miss me. Well, today, if you lost your edge, today you're getting it back. I'm believing by the Spirit of God that that edge is coming back to you. I'm believing for a strengthening. I'm believing for a power to come. I'm believing for energy to come today to just resurrect you out of that rut you're in. Because you and I know this is not how you're supposed to live. This is not who you are. This is not your destiny. This is not what you're made to do. You're made for greatness. But it's in the little things where you lose your edge, where you start getting sloppy at work, and sloppy at home, and sloppy at church, and sloppy in your relationships. Snap out of it! Amen. On our jobs, we don't work for our bosses, although we're under authority. We work for Jesus. So every day, we should be giving our best. And no man is the person that promotes us. God promotes. And if that man won't promote you, God will find somebody who will. So you keep on giving your best, even when there's trouble, even when there's adversity, even when your boss is coming down on your case. You just smile. Start slipping a dollar bill under their door with a nice encouraging message.